Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today, things are going to get a little unnerving. We're going to be looking at some of the attempts to, well, assassinate former President Trump. I mean, we hear about, you know, successful assassinations, but what about the ones that almost happened?
Right.
The close calls, the what ifs. So we're going to use excerpts from a piece called Assassination Plots Revealed, Shocking Attempts on Trump's Life, to unpack some of these. And just to be clear, we're not here to talk politics, not at all. This is purely about the security threats themselves.
Well, and it's an interesting area to examine, especially since, you know, Trump was such a polarizing figure. You know, intensely loved, intensely hated.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of passion, whether it's positive or negative, it definitely makes you a target.
Oh, absolutely. That scrutiny comes with the territory. I mean, when you're a high-profile, polarizing figure, you face greater risks. It's always been a challenge, presidential security, but I think in recent years, the threats have become even more complex.
For sure. And the article actually talks about all the unprecedented security measures that were taken during Trump's presidency. I mean, can you imagine the pressure on the Secret Service, knowing that the stakes are that high?
Well, think about it. Every public appearance, every motorcade route, even every piece of mail, it all needs extra scrutiny. Advanced teams, they got to be bigger.
Yeah.
Threat assessments more frequent. And all the technology, the surveillance, the communication, it all has to be ramped up. It's a constant race to stay ahead.
Man. One of the plots, and this one really freaked me out, was the ricin-laced letter sent right to the White House. It's just crazy to me that something as simple as a letter can be such a threat.
Yeah, and ricin is a particularly nasty poison because it's surprisingly accessible, you know? It comes from castor beans, which some people might even have in their gardens.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And the fact that such a, you know, common plant can create such a deadly toxin, it's a reminder that danger can be lurking anywhere.
It's true. And the article quotes a Secret Service agent, anonymously, of course, but he said, "Had this envelope slipped through our safeguards, it could have been catastrophic."
Yeah.
That's a chilling thought. I mean, it makes you wonder, can any security system be truly foolproof?
You're absolutely right. You can put all the layers of protection in place you want, but there's always that chance something could slip through. That's why vigilance is so critical.
Absolutely. So we've talked about, you know, a kind of covert threat with the poison, but there was also the sniper's nest that was found overlooking one of Trump's rallies. That reminds us of the very real, very physical danger presidents face when they're in public.
Yeah, the sniper's nest, that's a chilling discovery. I mean, it suggests a premeditated attack, a strategy, not just some random act of violence. And that level of planning, the preparation, it takes the threat to a whole new level. It shows that even the most secure-looking environments can be vulnerable.
Right. The Secret Service found that nest just moments before the rally was supposed to start. And the article, it quotes an agent who described it as a race against time. He said, "Every second mattered, and we neutralized the threat just moments before the rally began."
Wow. Can you imagine being in that situation, knowing so many lives are on the line?
Absolutely. It's a testament to the training and the quick thinking of these agents, that they could avert what could have been a disaster. But it also makes you think, how did someone get so close in the first place? Were there security gaps? Intelligence failures? These are the things investigators would scrutinize.
I bet. But, you know, it's not just physical threats we have to worry about. There's the whole cyber element. Yeah. There was a plot uncovered where a group was trying to hijack the presidential motorcade.
Now, when we say hijack, we're not talking about someone physically taking over the vehicles. It's about exploiting technology. I mean, today's vehicles, especially the ones with all the security features, they're practically computers on wheels. And computers can be hacked.
The goal here was to take control of the motorcade systems, potentially cause a staged accident.
It's terrifying how technology, something we depend on for everything, can be turned against us like that.
I know. In this particular attack, it was believed to be the work of a very sophisticated international network. And that brings up a really important point. Presidential security isn't just a domestic issue anymore. It's a global challenge.
Absolutely. And it's not just organized groups either. The lone wolf incident in Las Vegas really made that clear. Can you remind us about that one?
Sure. This was the case where a hotel worker noticed a guest acting suspiciously. Thankfully, that worker reported their concerns to the police. Turned out the guest had a whole cache of weapons and plans to attack Trump's motorcade.
Yeah. And the officer who worked on the case said, "It's frightening to think how close we came to losing a president that day."
It really is.
It's a chilling thought.
And, you know, what makes lone wolves so difficult to counter is that their radicalization, it often happens online, in those dark corners of the internet. And for intelligence agencies trying to track these individuals, it's really difficult because they don't fit the traditional mold of organized terrorist groups. Often there's no clear hierarchy, no easily identifiable communication channels. It makes it incredibly difficult to predict their actions.
And to prevent them, yeah. Speaking of difficult to predict, there was also the plot that involved someone on Trump's own staff leaking information. Imagine that, an inside job. It's got to be any security team's worst nightmare.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Insider threats, they're one of the most challenging security scenarios.
Yeah.
You have someone who already has access, someone who has probably passed background checks, they've earned trust.
Yeah.
And they can operate undetected for much longer.
Yeah.
And the damage they can do, it could be catastrophic.
It's hard to wrap your head around that kind of betrayal. I mean, what would make someone turn against the people they're supposed to be protecting?
Well, the motivations are complex. Sometimes it's ideology, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's even just a personal grudge.
Mm-hmm.
There's rarely a simple answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what makes these cases so hard to investigate.
And to prosecute, I imagine. So how do you even begin to guard against something like that?
Well, it's a multi-pronged approach, really.
Yeah.
Rigorous background checks,
yeah.
Compartmentalizing information. And you need to foster a culture where suspicious behavior is reported immediately. But even with all that, there are no guarantees.
Right. It's amazing that with all these threats hanging over him, Trump still held rallies and kept a busy schedule. And he always projected this image of strength.
Well, you know, that kind of response, it's pretty common. World leaders often choose to project that resilience, that determination in the face of danger. It's a way to reassure the public. It shows that they aren't intimidated. But maintaining that facade, it takes a toll.
Yeah. It can't be easy to live with that kind of pressure, knowing you're a target.
Most of us can't even imagine. The weight of leadership, the constant awareness of threats, knowing your decisions affect millions of lives. It all adds up. And we don't know for sure what impact these assassination attempts had on Trump personally, but it's safe to assume they made an already demanding job even tougher.
You mentioned earlier that presidential security is now a global issue. Can you talk a bit more about how our increasingly interconnected world impacts security efforts?
Well, think about it. We live in a world where information travels so fast, where borders are more open than ever, and technology lets people connect from anywhere. In that environment, threats can come from anywhere. It makes it so much harder for security agencies to track and neutralize them.
It's like that interconnectedness applies to technology itself,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, we saw that with the attempted cyber attack on the motorcade. We rely on technology for everything. Communication, transportation. It makes us vulnerable in ways we're only beginning to understand.
Exactly. And as technology keeps advancing, the methods used by those who want to do harm will also advance. It's a constant race. We need to invest in research, training, innovation.
Yeah. Let's go back to the poison letter for a second. The fact that ricin, this incredibly potent toxin, can come from something as common as a castor bean is pretty unsettling. I was reading that ricin has been used in a lot of assassination attempts throughout history. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. Ricin has a long, dark history. One of the most famous cases is the umbrella assassination of this Bulgarian dissident, Georgi Markov, back in 1978.
I think I've heard of that.
Marisa was injected with a tiny ricin pellet. It was fired from the tip of an umbrella.
Wow.
It's believed that the Bulgarian secret police, with help from the KGB, carried out the attack.
That's chilling. It just shows how something ordinary can be turned into a deadly weapon.
And it's worth noting that ricin is extremely difficult to detect. No taste, no smell. And the effects, they can be delayed for hours, so it's hard to trace the source, which makes it a very attractive weapon for covert attacks.
That's scary. It seems like with ricin, prevention is everything. Because once it's used, the chances of survival are pretty slim.
You're absolutely right. Early detection, rapid medical intervention, they're critical. But the best defense is awareness and vigilance.
Yeah. The other incident that really got to me was the sniper's nest at Trump's rally. It made me think about all the pressure the Secret Service faces when they have to protect a president in a huge crowd. What are the biggest challenges of providing security at events like that?
Securing a large event with a high-profile target like the president, it's a massive undertaking. You have layers upon layers of security protocols, intelligence gathering, threat assessments, physical barriers, crowd control. You have to consider every angle, every possible vulnerability.
I bet. And I imagine technology plays a huge role.
Absolutely. Facial recognition, surveillance cameras, metal detectors, bomb-sniffing dogs, all kinds of tools to detect and deter threats. But technology alone isn't enough. You need skilled people, well-coordinated teams, constant communication. You can't let anything fall through the cracks.
It's a huge responsibility. I read that the suspect in the Sniper Nest case was linked to an extremist group. Is that a common factor in presidential assassination attempts?
Unfortunately, yes. Extremist ideologies, whether they're political, religious, or something else, they're often the driving force behind these attacks. And with social media and the internet, it's easier than ever for those ideologies to spread, for individuals to become radicalized.
So how do you fight something as intangible as an ideology?
That's a tough one. You have to address the root causes of extremism, promote tolerance and understanding, provide alternative narratives to counter the hate. But it also involves vigilance and law enforcement. You have to identify and disrupt these groups before they can act.
It's like that saying, see something, say something. But with so much information out there, so many potential threats, how do we balance security with individual freedom?
That's the big question, isn't it? It's a delicate balance. We want to protect our leaders and our citizens, but we don't want to live in a society ruled by fear, where our freedoms are eroded in the name of security. Finding that balance is one of the biggest challenges we face.
It's true, and it's a conversation that requires constant vigilance and careful thought.
Exactly. A conversation we need to keep having, for sure. Reevaluating, making sure our security measures are, you know, proportionate to the threats we face.
You know, I feel like we've only just scratched the surface today. I mean, we've gone from poison letters to sniper nests to cyber conspiracies to insider threats. It's amazing the complexity of presidential security.
And remember, these are just a handful of the threats that came up during Trump's presidency. I mean, for every plot that's foiled, who knows how many more are out there, right? It really makes you appreciate all the work that the intelligence and security communities do.
It's true. It's easy to forget that there's this whole army of people working behind the scenes to keep our leaders safe. It's gotta be a thankless job, but it's so important.
They are the unsung heroes. They operate in secrecy, in danger, often putting their own lives on the line. And it's not just physical security either. They're safeguarding information, preventing espionage, countering disinformation.
It's a huge responsibility, and one that's only getting bigger in our, you know, increasingly interconnected and kind of volatile world.
Exactly. As technology changes, as the geopolitical landscape shifts, the threats change too. So we have to be adaptable, innovative, always reevaluating how we approach security.
So where do we go from here? I mean, what are the key takeaways from this deep dive into presidential security?
Well, one of the biggest things is that threats can come from anywhere, anyone. We need to be vigilant at every level, individuals, organizations, governments. We need to foster awareness, a sense of responsibility where people feel like they can report anything suspicious, share information that could prevent an attack.
It really does take a village, doesn't it? Or in this case, a whole nation, maybe even the whole world.
I think so. And we also have to be realistic about the limits of security. No system is perfect. There's always a chance something can slip through. But if we invest in intelligence, if we strengthen our cybersecurity, if we work together globally, we can make it a lot harder for those who want to do harm to succeed.
It sounds like there's a lot of work to do, but essential work.
It is. And it takes constant vigilance, a commitment to staying ahead of the curve. Because the threats we face today won't be the same as the threats we face tomorrow. We have to be adaptable, always learning, always improving.
That's a great point. This deep dive has really given us a lot to think about. It's been fascinating and a little unnerving to explore this hidden world of presidential security and to understand just how challenging it is.
It's a world that's often hidden, but it affects all of us. The safety and security of our leaders, it's not just about protecting them personally. It's about protecting our institutions, our values, the very fabric of our society.
Well said. I think it's time to wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. To our listener, thanks for joining us on this journey into a world that's both fascinating and at times a little scary. We hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity and given you a new perspective on the challenges of protecting those in power.
It's been great exploring these issues with you.
The pleasure was all mine. And until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
And it's a conversation that, you know, needs to happen constantly. We need to be reevaluating and making sure our security measures are, well, proportionate, right? Proportionate to the actual threats we face.
Yeah, it's a good point. It really feels like we've just scratched the surface of this whole topic today. I mean, we've talked about poison letters, sniper nests, cyber conspiracies, people on the inside leaking information. It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about how complex presidential security really is.
And remember, this is just a tiny fraction of the threats they had to deal with during Trump's time in office. I mean, for every plot that they stop, there are probably many more that we never even hear about. It makes you realize how much work the intelligence and security communities do, you know?
Yeah. It's easy to forget, right, that behind the scenes, there are all these people working constantly to keep our leaders safe. It's got to be a thankless job, but it's so crucial.
Oh, absolutely. They really are the unsung heroes. I mean, they operate in secrecy, in dangerous situations, often putting their own lives on the line to protect others. And it's not just physical security either. They're protecting information, they're preventing espionage, they're fighting disinformation campaigns.
It's a huge responsibility, and one that's only getting bigger as our world becomes more interconnected, more unpredictable.
Right. As technology keeps advancing, as the geopolitical landscape shifts, the threats will keep evolving too. So we have to adapt, we have to be innovative, and we have to constantly reevaluate our approach to security.
So where do we go from here? What are some of the biggest takeaways from this deep dive, this look into presidential security?
I think one of the most important things to remember is that threats can come from anywhere, from anyone. So we need to be vigilant at every level. Individuals, organizations, governments, we need to build a culture where people are aware, where they feel responsible, where they feel comfortable reporting anything suspicious, sharing information that could help prevent an attack, you know.
It takes a village, right? Or in this case, maybe a whole nation, maybe even the whole world working together.
Exactly. And we also have to be honest with ourselves about the limits of security. No system is perfect. There will always be a chance that something could slip through.
Yeah.
But if we invest in intelligence, if we strengthen our cybersecurity, if we cooperate on a global level, we can make it a lot harder for those who want to do harm to succeed.
It sounds like there's a lot of work to be done, but it's clearly work that's incredibly important.
It is. And it's work that needs constant vigilance, a commitment to staying ahead of the game, ahead of the threats, because the things we're worried about today, they won't be the same as the things we'll face tomorrow. We have to be ready to adapt, always learning, always improving how we approach security.
That's a great point. I think this deep dive has given us all a lot to think about. It's been really eye-opening to explore this hidden world of presidential security and to understand just how complex and challenging it is.
It's a world that most people don't see, but it affects all of us. Because the safety and security of our leaders, it's not just about protecting them as individuals. It's about protecting our institutions, our values, the foundations of our society.
Well said. On that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. To our listener, thank you for joining us on this journey into a world that's, well, it's fascinating and it can be a little unsettling at times. We hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity and that it's giving you a new perspective on what it takes to protect those in power.
It's been great to be here to explore these issues with you.
The pleasure was all mine. And until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.